truma, the Torah is requesting of an Yisrael that she give donation to the Beit HaMikdash. Truma. Truma is a donation. There are different, there are two different types of hegdish. There's Kedusha Zedek Abayis, and there's Kachem Mizbeach. These are two different names. Kachem Mizbeach is, there are two kinds of Kachem Mizbeach. One kind of Kachem Mizbeach is Kedusha Taguf Lam Mizbeach. And you actually magdish a carbon. Hareza Oiva, Hareza Shlomin, Hareza Chatas, Hareza Mincha. That has a Kedusha Taguf Lam Mizbeach, that you makriv it on the Mizbeach. Then with the Kedusha Zamin Lam Mizbeach, a person sets aside money, and he designates this money as Kodesh. He puts aside $100 in order to buy carbon oil. Let's say he goes to the store, he gets a carbon oil for $90. What does he do with the leftover $10? So that's called Moiser Oil. So Moiser Oil is it? Moiser Oil. Moiser of all Kashi Kashim is carbon oil. But that person set aside $100 to buy carbon tablets. He didn't call Shabbat to Shogit. He ain't carbon to Zamba Shogit. So he sets aside $100, and then he succeeds in buying the hammer for $90. What does he do with the leftover $10? So there's a Mishnah Shkolin that says, this is Medrash Dorash Yehoyada HaKoyim. It was a biblical figure known as Yehoyada HaKoyim. He's in the HaTorah of Parsha Shkolin, I think. So the Mishnah Shkolin comments on that Parsha, that he developed a din of Parsha Balteh, that any money that's left over, many of the Kachi Kachi, Moser Chatos, Moser Oila, Moser Mincha, Moser Osher, many money left over goes to buy Oilas. Oilus Likaita Mizbeach. So that's the money that you set aside to buy a carbon from it, that's Kachi Mizbeach, but it's not Kedusha Taguf Lam Mizbeach, that's Kedusha Taguf Lam Mizbeach. And then there's a totally different fund that's not Kachi Mizbeach at all, that's known as Kachi Bedek Habayis. If you donate money to build, they need walls, they need paint, they need bricks, whatever they need in the Beit HaMikdash, they need the structure of the Beit HaMikdash. So that money, those funds, come from the donations that were given for Kachi Bedek Habayis. Where did the Kisharis come from? In the Beit HaMikdash, they had different types of tables. They had Klei HaMikdash, which is the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. You had the Menorah is in a specific location, and the Shulchan is in a specific location, and the Mizbech is in a specific location, and the Kira in a specific place. So you have, let's say in any home, you have furniture that sits in a specific place. And then you have pots and pans, and you have forks and knives. So the Beit HaMikdash, there were clay shards that were used. They don't have any specific location. There were clay shards that they were used. The knives and what is the chef to Kabbalah, and the kelim to do the Kabbalah Sadam, and the Lachas Sadam, and all the other kelim. So that's one type, the clay shards. And then there's clay HaMikdash. The kelim that constitutes the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash, that you fulfill the mitzvah, the Asur HaMikdash, for the Shleimuto. If you have a Beit HaMikdash with its kelim, this is the completion of the mitzvah of the Asur HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah to build the Beit HaMikdash. It's one of the Tayyag mitzvahs HaTorah. That's what the Gemara considers this one of the Tayyag mitzvahs. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and the Rambam quotes this Gemara, Gemara Sanhedrin that's called on the base. Gimel mitzvahs and Stavi Yisrael this Nisat Yilo Arif. When Bnei Yisrael entered Eretz Yisrael, they became obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs in this specific order. First, the Lahamad Lahamelech to establish a Jewish government, then the Lahakur Zara Shalom Molek, and then Lipsus Lahambe Sapsira. So the Rambam quotes that in Hilchus Malach. That's what the Gemara Sanhedrin in the context of the Dini Melech. So you have a mitzvah to build a Beit HaPchir, and the Rambam writes, the mitzvah to build a Beit HaPchir is fulfilled the Shnei Mutzav, if you have all of the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. So what funds do you take the money from for the purpose of purchasing the Klei HaMikdash, or for the purpose of purchasing the Klei Shari? So the Gemara and Ksuvah Zab Kuvav on the day quotes a Braisa which distinguishes that the Klei Shari are for the purpose of HaKovah Korbanah. So that money has to come from from the Master Sashekel money. That should come from the Master Sashekel money. Well, the Master Sashekel was, every year Bnei Yisrael had, there's two different Master Sashekels here that are mixed up. Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Truma that it says three times the word Truma, and one of the three Trumas was the Master Sashekel. So there were two different Master Sashekels. The Master Sashekel that was brought every single year, that everyone had to participate in, all the men had to participate in, that Matzah Shekel was for the purpose of purchasing the Karbonah Tzibur. The Tzibur himself that was brought every day had to be purchased after from Matzah Shekel. And if you have a wealthy person and he wants to sign out a check for $5 million to cover all the expenses of the Kabbalah Sigma, then you're not Yoytze. The Mishnah records that that was one of the big disputes between the Tzukim and the Tushim. The Shnayim don't quote, they say there was always a fight, doesn't quote so many Machloekisim. I think there were only 10 that are quoted in the Gemara. But that was one of the 10. Machloekisim between the Tzukim and the Tushim. One was on Yom Kippur, how you do the Karbonis, in which order. One was on Shavuot, where the Shavuot was always on an extended weekend, always on a Sunday. And the Christians carried over their Pentecost always on a Sunday, the holiday of the 50th day, that was a carryover from the Tzukim and the days of the Baishen. And one of them, Achlekesim, he called in the Mishnah, says, can you have a private person from all the Karbonis people? So the Tzukim said, why not? If you don't get one person to pay you all the money, so then you have to have a development department, a vice president for fundraising. You have to go schnell money from all over, but if you get one guy to give $5 million, then you promise yourself, what's the problem? And Allah says that it's not acceptable, that the Karbon Sibur, it's not called a Karbon Sibur, unless it's paid for by the entire Sibur together. Everybody has to participate. That's the Maksa Shekhar. And I said there was another Maksa Shekhar. That Maksa Shekhar is Kedusha Zalim, one is there. You're going to use that Maksa Shekhar to purchase Karbonis from it. It's not Kashaberek Abayis. Kashaberek Abayis is the other Maksa Shekel. But everybody gave a Maksa Shekel, Dekal Agugolas, and they made the Adonim from that. That was Kashaberek Abayis. That was one of the structure of the Mishnah, was the Adonim. That was part of the structure of the Mishnah. So there were two Maksa Shekels that Rashi speaks of over here. One was Kashaberek Abayis, and one was Kashaberek. Here the Gemara Kuvav on the base quotes a Braisa that distinguishes between the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash, the Klei HaMikdash, as opposed to the Klei Sharis. The Klei Sharis were purchased from Maksus HaShekel money, just like what a Korban HaSibur, from Maksus HaShekel money. So the Klei Sharis is Lesorah HaVoidah. That's what the Gemara has on the top line of Boy Minei Rabunei Meirav, the top line of Kuvov of the Beit HaMikdash, Klei Sharis, Ma'u Sheyot Mitoche Berek HaVoidah. You use better Kabbalah's money? But he's saying, no, you use Maksa Shekel money because it's the Torah HaKabbalah. It's not close to prices. It says the Tavish. The Klishores are supposed to be purchased from Maksa HaShekel money. Hashem can play HaMikdosh. It says play HaMikdosh. The Rishkos or Azorois. And the play HaMikdosh come from the Berek HaBayis money. It's a different fund, two different funds. It's interesting, the Gemara has that right that the Gemara quotes draws a distinction between the Mizbah. There were two Mizbahs of the Beit HaMikdash. There was the Mizbah HaTorah, there was the Mizbah HaZov, that was in the Hechov. And then there was the Mizbah HaOloh, that was in the Mizbah HaNechoshes, that was on the outside. In the Azor, that was for all the Korbanos were brought from the Yom Kippur. Everything was brought on the outside Mizbeach. And the Mizbah HaKtoris in the Hechol was only for Ktoris every day. You're not allowed to use it to any other Korbanos except once in a long while. I mean, Kippur, Achash Pashana, you do this because Adam there. Special, unusual case. And the outside Mizbeach was for all the daily Korbanos, all the regular Korbanos. So the Gemara in Zvachim draws a contrast between the two. The Gemara says that the Mizbah HaNechoshes, the Mizbah HaOla outside was Mechubah LeKarka. It was attached to the ground, and therefore it had a din like Binyan. It's considered part of the structure of the Beit HaMikdash. So that's what the Brisa says over here, that the Mizbah HaOla had the same status like the Lishkos and the Azaros, that it has to be purchased from Berek HaBayis fund. So that's the Mizbah HaOla is part of the structure of the Beit HaMikdash. As opposed to the Mizbah HaKtoret, which was inside the Mizbah HaZahav, the Gemara says that was not Mechubah LeKarka. So that had the status like a Klisharis. So that's put together in the Braisa. The Mizbah HaZov with the Klisharis have to be purchased from Maksus HaShekel money. There is a Machlekes HaTanoim in the end of Menachos. People are more familiar with this Machlekes HaTanoim from Sukkot. the beginning of Masechet Sukkah, the Gemara calls this Mahalakas HaTamon. There are three types of Amos. There's an Amma, an Amma is a measuring, a distance. So there's an Amma about Chamishat Tzachim, an Amma about Shishat Tzachim, and an Amma about Shibat Tzachim. So the Amma about Shishat Tzachim, that's what we use. So whenever we talk about Adal Amos, and Eser Amos, and whenever we talk about Amos, we talk about an Amma that has six Tzachim, a set of it like this, some on top, and then two Tzachim, three Tzachim, they have six Tzachim in a row. That's called an Amma. So the Mishnah, that's called an Amma Beinonis. That's a medium size Amma. So there's an Amma that only has five Tzachim, and then there's an Amma that has seven Tzachim. So the Mishnah has a machlokes between Rabbi Meir, the Gemara has a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda regarding the Amas and the Beit HaMikdash. Some of them were Amma Bat Chamisha Tzachim. Here it says all the measurements of the Mizbeach and the Menorah and everything. So the question is, when the Chumash gives you all the measurements in terms of Amos, are these Amos 5 Tzachim or 6 Tzachim? No, they're not 7 Tzachim. 7 Tzachim is for other purposes. But some of them are 5, some of them are 6. So there's a fundamental machlokes that's quoted in the main place which discusses the end of Masechet Menachos. But it happens to be referred to here in the beginning for a certain purpose. You must finally establish how do you know that a sukkah has to be 10 Tzachim tall. The top is lower than 10 Tzachim is no good. In the middle of that discussion, more pulls in this machlokes Rav Meir and Rav Yudit. That's on the payment base in sukkah. So Rav Meir's opinion is that most of the Amos that we're dealing with in the Mishkan, the Beit HaMikdash, are Amos of 6 Tzachim. He agrees that some of them are 5 Tzachim, but most of them are 6 Tzachim. And Rav Yudah disagrees. Rav Yudah, usually we talk from there, Rav Yudah, Allah, Rav Yudah. Rav Yudah says that there's a difference between an Amish of Dinyan and an Amish of Kalim. Whenever the Din is speaking about Amish of the Dinyan, of the structure of the Beit HaMikdash, that's from Tzedekah Bayis money, that's six problems. Whenever it's talking about an Amish of Kalim, the Share, Kalim, that are not Mechubil Akaka, that's an Amish of five problems. The Rashi writes there, in an office outside of Zion and Alaka, this Machlokes originates, the Rashi writes that according to Rav Yudah's opinion, which should be the accepted opinion, and there Rav Yudah, Allah is Rav Yudah, it's interesting, all these Talmidim lived after the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, so they always have Machlokes in it about how the Karbonos work, and none of them saw the Beit HaMikdash. You don't have any records from the time of the Beit HaMikdash as to having any Machlokes, here and there. But namely, the Machlokes in our how big the rooms were in the Beit HaMikdash, they didn't have any tradition, so they had a machlokes. So these Tanaim, they all lived after the Churban HaBayis. So according to Rav Yudah, there's a difference between an Amish of Dinyan and an Amish of Kalim. An Amish of Dinyan is Shishat Tzachim, an Amish of Kalim is Chamishat Tzachim. So Rashi writes there in the end of Menachos, it'll chapa nafkemina regarding between the Mizbach HaKtoris and the Mizbach HaOlam. Rashi writes, the Mizbach HaKtoris is a plea. So the measurement, the minimum size mentioned in Chumash, will be an Amma Bas Chamisha Tzachim, the Frank Rav Yudah. But the Mizbach HaOlam, on the outside, that has the status of Dinyan, and the Amma Shal Dinyan is supposed to be an Amma Bas Shisha Tzachim. That's where Rashi points out in the office. That's considered a double portion. The Mizbach Din, the Gemara in Chulin, the Gemara in Sukkot, the Gemara in Chulin, quotes the prophet from Divya Yomim, that David HaMelech was given by the Novi, Megillah Diksav, about how to build the Bayis Rishon. And then he was very interested in building, and then the Navi told him, you have no permission. So he had to transmit this Megillah Diksav to his son, to Shlomo HaMelech, and he goes there, Hapol Diksav, Mi'ad Hashem Alay Hasko. Everything was written down exactly all the measurements, and the Gemara understands that not such as Hapol Diksav, Mi'ad Hashem Alay Hasko, you're not allowed to tamper with the measurement of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. It was Bitzah from the Navi, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Nebuah, and you're not allowed to change. So the pastors in the Gemara, you get the impression that HaKod Bitzah only applies to the building of the Beit HaMikdash. It doesn't necessarily apply to the Kelim, it applies to the building. And nonetheless, the Gemara in Fulin, the first Daf and Perek Kisui Adam, the Mishnah says, the Mitzah Kisui Adam only applies when you shech the Hemet Kulin. When you shech Korbanus in the Beit HaMikdash, there's no din of Kisei Adam. There's no Kisei Adam on the Hemis Tuchlal, only on Eivet, on Chayis and Eivet. When you shech the Hemis Tuchlal, there's no Kisei Adam, only shech and Chayis Yer. So in Beit HaMikdash, most of the Karbonos were the Hemis, they're not Chayis, but there were Karbonos that were Eivet. So the question, Ovisoy, Chatzisoy, so when you shut an Ovisoy, the Chatzisoy, is there a mitzvah Kisei Adam? So the Mishnah says, no, Kisei Adam is only the Chulin, and not Duma Kedoshim. So the Gemara has a whole discussion in the first half and Perek Kisei Adam, the end of Masechet Chulin. Why is that so? How do you know that it's true? So the Gemara says, first makes the discussion, well, how are you going to do Kisei Adam? You're going to throw sand down in the Mizbeach, and then you're going to do the Zrikas Adam. Then you're going to throw sand on top of that, you have to have off and Lamaila, off and Lamata. So the Gemara says, wouldn't that be a violation? They're talking about the Mizbeach Ha'ola, on the outside, the Mizbeach HaNakoshim. So the Gemara quotes that passage, HaKol V'Ksav, Yad HaShem Alay HaSkil, that if you were to add on sand that would be buffalo, are you only putting the sand temporarily? Or you want to, you plan to leave the sand there permanently? Because if you're going to leave the sand there permanently, then this will be a violation of HaKol V'Ksav, Yad HaShem Alay HaSkil. So you're changing the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara assumes, see, the top of the table here is not the ground level. The ground level is over here where my feet are. The table is not attached to the ground, but the Mizbach HaOla is attached to the ground. So the top of the Mizbach HaOla is considered the floor. And the Kohanim walk on it. Some of the Shulchan may walk on the table also, but that does. But the table is not attached to the floor, so the ground level is over here. This is the floor. But in the Mizbach HaOla, because it's attached, the Halacha says that the ground level is the top of the Mizbach HaOla, Mizbach HaNechoshes outside. So the Gemara says if you're going to add on some sand on top, you're being the Shana, the Tzura of the Beis HaMikdash. So if they would make such a thing on Mizbach HaKtoris, that wouldn't be a violation of HaKol V'Ksav, Yad HaShem Alay HaSkil. HaKol V'Ksav HaPipashtin, that Tzachim Divrei Hayomim only applies to the building of the Beis HaMikdash. People often get confused. The yeshivas, they don't learn kashim, but sometimes they get confused between kedushas damim lamizbeach and kedushas derech habayis. These are two totally different things. Kedushas derech habayis goes for clean up, paint up, fix up for the Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't go on kavanah. Kedushas damim lamizbeach goes only for kavanah. And the Bryce, interesting, the Bryce and Kuzov and Beis draws a distinction between the Mizbach HaKtoris and the Mizbach HaZohar. That the Mizbach HaZohar that has the status of the Klishari, so all the Klishari should be purchased from Achas HaShekah money. That was the topic on the top line, Kuzov and Beis, so in the middle of the daf, he quotes the Bryce, that it comes from Achas HaShekah money. Zorach Karbonis, Limited Karbonis. And the folks of Mizbach HaOimah, that's considered as, that's attached to the ground, that's considered part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Lishkas and the Azaras have to be paid for by the, from the Derech HaBayis. But we started before another thing, that there are two types of Kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. You see, the Mizbach HaZoh, the Mizbach HaKtoris outside is not a Kli, that's Mechubal HaKarka. The Mizbach HaKtoris inside is a Kli, but it's not a Kli Shari, you can't call it a Kli Shari. It's one of the pieces of furniture that Beis HaMikdash that has a makom kavua. So like the menorah, or like the shulchan, these are clay hamikdash. This is the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. The clay hamikdash have a makom miyuchad, as opposed to the klisharis have no makom miyuchad. There are other differences between klisharis and clay hamikdash. The Gemara says towards the end of the Zohar, the Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash, everything has to be done in a very classy fashion. So the Gemara says, "Ein aniyus b'mokam ashir." You're not allowed to act in the Beis HaMikdash like kapsonis, like paupers would act. So let's say sometimes you have a pot, and the people can't afford to buy a brand new pot. So sometimes you have a big soup pot, and it gets a hole in it, a hole in the bottom. So if you can afford it, you throw out the old pot in the garbage, and you buy yourself a new pot. And the poor people can't afford it, so they go to the hardware store, and you buy a latte. You buy a gadget that attaches to the hole in order to patch up the hole. So the Gemara says in the Beis HaMikdash, you're not allowed to do that. Because the Eilami is from Mokum Hashir. You're not allowed to act as if an Eisel can't afford. Everything has to be done like Hashir. So any keli that gets broken, they just discard it. Nonetheless, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, when you have the Mizbeach as Nifkam, you fix it. So why do you fix it? Why don't you just throw out the whole thing and start anew? So the answer is, even wealthy people, when their furniture gets, when a dish breaks, so they're not going to glue it together. A pot gets developed the whole, they're not going to go to the hardware store and put on a patch on the pot. They're going to throw out the whole pot. But when a piece of furniture breaks, they're not going to throw out, unless it's gold, But they're not going to throw out the furniture just because something breaks. They're going to get somebody to fix the furniture. When the wall cracks, they throw out the whole apartment. He builds a new house. The house breaks, they fix the house. So there seems to be a distinction between the klisharis and the Beis HaMikdash and the clay HaMikdash, the furniture of the Beis HaMikdash. That's not a violation of Bein Amiyas or Mokam HaShiris. If it breaks, the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, they fix it. As opposed to the klisharis, that's what the Gemara of Lachem says on that case. That's something that if it breaks, klisharis, the Shemizru, then you don't fix it, you just put it away. And you make others instead because Bein Amiyas or Mokam HaShiris. There's another din Gemara has in Rosh Hashanah and in Masechet Avodah Zarah. It's quoted in Yerideya in the middle of Hilchos Avodah Zarah that there's a pasuk. So you're not allowed to make tzuris of Avodah Zarah. But the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation, and that's also glosasim iti. You're not allowed to make even not for the purpose of Avodah Zarah. The simple meaning of glosasim iti lahe chesed. Lahizav glosasim goes on Avodah Zarah. You make for yourself, you make for other people to worship it. So the Gemara says glosasim iti can be read as another prohibition. What does it refer to? You're not allowed to make the bush malachim. The bush malachim hamshamshin lefonet by mother, the mother elyon. Hamshamshin lefonet by mother. That's how it matters. Lashashiniti, the bush malachim hamshamshin lefonet by mother. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says there's a mother elyon and there's a mother tachton. In morom, up in the heavens above, there's two. A mother Elyon is the angel. So you're not allowed to make an image of an angel. You're not allowed to paint the picture of an angel. And then the mother Hafasa means in the heavens, not the heavens where the angels are, the heavens. You're not allowed to make a planetarium. You're not allowed to make the Mush Shemesh, the Aref, the Kachavim, etc. You're not allowed to draw a picture. You're not allowed to develop a photograph of the sun, the moon, and the stars. There is a planetarium, but you're not allowed to make such a thing. The Gemara has it in Rosh Hashanah because the Mishnah says when the witnesses used to come to testify by Kiddush HaChodesh, so Rabbi Gamliel used to have Tzuris HaLavana. He has different images of Levana that he asked them, did it appear in this shape and that shape, what direction was he facing, in order to interrogate them to make sure that number one that they're not lying, and number two that they didn't have any mistake, that they don't have a hallucination. Maybe they saw something else, maybe they saw an airplane and they thought that it was a Levana. So he would show them different images and pointed in different directions. And Mark says, how would he be permitted to make this the Mush Levana? If you have a prohibition, you're not allowed to make the Mush Amasha Hamshamshin Lefonai Bamodar. That's Mother Hatachton. Hamshamshin Lefonai Bamodar. So that's the sun and moon in the stars, that's called Mother Hatachton. And the angels, that's called Mother Ha'elyon. And then Gemara has another level of interpretation in the pasuk, and these are all biblical prohibitions. Hatachton, you're not allowed to make a replica of the rooms of the Beit HaMikdash or the kelim of the Beit HaMikdash. So no one is allowed to make a room that's the exact same size as any of the lishkot in the Beit HaMikdash. The hechol, the azara, the kodesh HaKodesh, you're not allowed to make a room exactly the same size. Nor is one permitted to make a shulchan, a shulchan menorah, tablet menorah, or anything like that. The klisharis, you are permitted to imitate. If you would know what they would look like, what's one can make a knife that looks like a knife that was used as a klishar? A knife is a knife. What's the difference? No, but a shulchan, a menorah, that's klei hamigdash, that's the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. So the prohibition is that you're not allowed to make anything that's a replica of the rooms of the Beit HaMikdash, or a replica of the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. That's a special din that only applies to so the clay hamigdash doesn't apply to the klishar. Eretz Yisrael is takat session. So I remember several years ago, a few people came from Eretz Yisrael with a big thing. I forgot already which klishar it was, and they wanted to visit Rabban Soloveitchik, and they wanted his blessing. So they wanted me to go with them. So we went into the dormitory room. And then they gave a presentation, they showed what they had, what they brought with them, and then they said what else they're making, the shine. And Rabbi Aaron sat there, and he listened. And then after they left, he said, it's Anita. So he said, why don't you tell them? That's what they came for. They wanted to know what it was up. He thought that they're not allowed to. They assumed that it's permissible because they're preparing it for the Beit HaMikdash. They're not going to use it, they're not making a replica to keep for their own purposes. They hope and pray that the Beit HaMikdash will be built. They're going to use these kelim to prepare it for the Beit HaMikdash they think is mutar. But Rabban Soloveitchik said it's not fine. That's a very bad answer, but I don't know why you didn't tell him.
I didn't understand.
So again, so the beginning of the Sefer speaks about the truma, the donations to the Beit HaMikdash. These donations, Rashi says truma three times. Some of the donations that they gave were machzus shekel money, kachim is there, kedusha zamin lam is there. Even donations, they're not giving the actual carbon and substance, but kedusha zamin lam is there. And some of the donations were kedusha berakabayis. Berakabayis is always kedusha zamin. There's never any kedusha group with berakabayis. It's not that you donate money that's kedusha zamin with berakabayis, and then when you actually build the wall, that's actually kedusha berakabayis. So even when you build the wall, it's also only Kedusha Zamin. Kedusha Zamin. No such thing as the difference between Kedusha Zamin. Kedusha Gov is only in Kedusha Zamin. Zamin is there. Kedusha Berakabai, everything is Kedusha Zamin. There is no Kedusha Zamin. So the Pasuk requires the various donations, two different types of donations, and for the three different things, for the actual structure of the Beit HaMikdash, and for the Klei HaMikdash, and for the Klei Sharet. If you look in the Rashi on the Pasuk, the Chaim Ta'atu, but it also says, "Yosef the Midrash Chol Al Asher Amim Harech Eisav Nitzkol Kenov Lechem Ta'atu." The Rashi says, "Lechem Ta'atu the Zayrus." When you have to make clay Hamidrash, or you have to make clay Sharis, Rashi writes either. Lechem Ta'atu goes on all the kids. So you have to make new clay Sharis or new clay Hamidrash. You should make it in accordance with the regulations that I'm telling you now. So there are different types of kids. In the Midbar, they were traveling around. There were so many different masoids. They kept on. There were men-based masoids, and the Mishkan kept on traveling from one place to the other. Now the Gemara has a machlokes ha-tamayim regarding the kedushas Beit HaMikdash. So the kitcher lost the lavoi, or not kitcher lost the lavoi. Here in the Midbar, no one has a havamina to think that every single location, all the 40 years and the 39 years, they built the Mishkan the year after, built it the second year. After Yitzhak Nisan, a year after Yitzhak Nisan, they built the Mishkan. So no one has a havamina to think that every location where the Mishkan was Kitzhak Lassanova. Had a Kedushas Beit HaMikdash Leon Abroad. Why is it only a Machlokes in Yerushalayim? The answer is because this was not a Beit HaPchir, this was not a Beit HaRom, this was a Beit HaMikdash. So when the Beit HaMikdash is here, it has Kedusha. When we move away, because there's no more Kedusha. In Yerushalayim, the Pesukim in Navi and in Divrei Yomim, have the Rambam quotes expressions that the Baruch Hu says, "Zos v'nechos v'yad ayad po eishet ki yivi siyo." But the Baruch Hu says, "This is where he wants the Shekhinah to be." The Yerushalayim put. He doesn't want to have after he chose Yerushalayim. The Shinivcha Yerushalayim. The Baruch Hu said he's not going to permit them to make a Beit HaMikdash anywhere. This is the ultimate location. So that's why there's a machlekes, whether the kitchen lost it over or not, whether the kedusha remains forever or not. But before the days of Yerushalayim, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, or the Mishkan in the Midbar, because when they would make the Mishkan, it was only there temporarily. It was never intended to be there permanently. So then there's no machlekes at all. Everybody agrees that it was only the Shaita. The kedusha was only the Shaita, and they planned to move on. Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim had a double status. Had the status of Beit HaMikdash, and had also had the status of Beit HaLom. The Beit HaBechira. Beit HaBechira means chosen forever and ever. Yirat Tachli Le'olam, when you get married. They say Yirat Tachli Le'olam, you're getting married to the girl forever. You give a get, but until you give the get, it's Le'olam. You can't just say, Havayam HaKodesh is Le'olam for a month. And then the marriage should disappear into thin air. The Gemara says in the Dorim, that it's interesting, in Kiddushin the topic is not Yisrael. You learn the whole Kedusha and the topic doesn't come up. It comes up a little bit in Gittin and the main Sugya is in the dark of all places. But if a man is in Kaddish and Isha only for a month, and after the month is up, the Kedusha should disappear. So the Gemara says, Kedusha is what Pukka before. The Kedusha is going to remain forever. So that's what Bechira is all about. Bechira means that this is the exclusion of all others. This is chosen forever. The Yerushalayim had the full Bechira, that there's a Nisa Bomas, for Bomas only in Beit HaMikdash, to the exclusion of all other locations, and this is forever. We don't allow, no other place will be chosen after Yerushalayim. Prior to Yerushalayim, they kept on moving the Beit HaMikdash from place to place, and the Midbar, You say that they kept on moving, and then based my story. The Mishkan Shiloh had a partial Zechira. The Stuk in the Tarshish Rei have twice. Hamakim Shiv Kashem and Kol Shivtechem is the second time. The first time it says Hamakim Shiv Kashem, the second time it says Hamakim Shiv Kashem and Kol Shivtechem. Rashi writes that the reason why it's written twice is the first Zechira goes on Mishkan Shiloh, and the second Zechira goes on the Beit HaRamim in Yerushalayim. Because Shiloh was not forever. Shiloh was only a partial Zechira in that it was to the exclusion of all other places. There was an Isa Bamis when Mishkan Shiloh was standing. But after Mishkan Shiloh was buried, after the Chorban Mishkan Shiloh, so then it was had the Bamis again. But Yerushalayim had the full status of Zechira. Full status means, Zechira means the exclusion of all others. There was an Isa Bamis to Zman on Mikdash and Yerushalayim, and then it was Le'olam. The Zechira was forever. That's why in Parshas Re'eh, when the mitzvah is repeated, here it says, "Lachol Mikdash." This is only a mikdash. It's not a Beit HaKhir, not a Beit HaLom. And the mitzvah there, the Sheikh and Siddush of Rosh Hashanah, that's in Parshas Re'eh, about building a Beit HaKhir, is written twice. Beit HaKhir appears twice in Re'eh. And Rashi comments in the Samtei HaChomish, the first time goes on Mishkan Shiloh, the second time goes on the Beit HaLom. The Beit HaMikdash had both the status of Beit HaMikdash and the status of Beit HaBchira. There is a Gemara in Zochana that called Dalim and Al, so the Gemara says that the Gemara has a suffix. When Dabra Melech was Mikadish the Mitzvah Sa'azara, was the only Mikadish the upper level. Let's say someone will remove a brick from the floor of the Azor, and the Kohen will stand on that, they'll remove a whole bunch of bricks. And the Kohen will be standing on the dirt floor. So that's a few inches lower than where the Azor was supposed to be. It was supposed to be on top of the bricks. So is that acceptable? When David was Mekadosh the Azor, did he have a mind to be Mekadosh his latitude and longitude, even lower down? And did he only have a mind to be Mekadosh the upper level, the ground level? And slightly below, if you remove the bricks, and you'll be slightly below, so the Kohen will not be able to do the other. He might have a deal. So the Tosfos points out, what do you mean Kikadosh David? How could David be Mekadosh the Azara? The Navi told David he's not permitted to build the Beit HaMikdash. And the Gemara says in Shavuot, he can only be Mekadosh the Beit HaMikdash at the time of Binyan. But if he didn't do the Binyan, how can he do the Kiddush? That's why the Rambam, in Hilchos Beis HaBchira, when the Rambam writes, he built the Beit HaMikdash and he Mekadosh it b'shas Binyan, and Shvat Namorach was Mekadosh the Bais Rishon. Rambam writes here, Shvat Namorach was Mekadosh. What is it with the Gemara? The Gemara says that David HaMelech was Mekadosh. Mekadosh David. Adaris Tehen Mekadosh was the Mekadosh the whole latitude, longitude, even lower down below the upper level of the bricks, or was the only Mekadosh the upper level, the small level on top of the bricks. The Hasira between the Rambam and the Gemara, who is Mekadosh, that's an observation, suggested that maybe there are two different deities. Maybe David was Mekadosh the Mokam HaMikdash B'Teres Beit HaBchira. But the Torah is Beit HaMikdash, that came later. That halacha says, "Ein mikachim es hamikdash ela b'shas binyan." So that aspect of the kedusha hamikdash had to be endowed by Shlomo HaMelech, because he's the one who did the actual binyan. And maybe David HaMelech, but the Gemara speaks about David HaMelech in the Shabbos, maybe he endowed the makom with the status of Beit HaBchira, because he was told by the Navi that this is. The Gemara says the whole story is drawn on a different daf, not above Zalim and Alfi. The Gemara says around daf Sama, that we learn from the part of the Sheikh and the Siddushu, Rosh Hashanah, when you're interested in building Beit HaMikdash, the Rabbanim should try to figure out on their own where they're supposed to build the Beit HaMikdash. They have to have Amor Lashon Torah to work hard. And after they think that they have the answer, then they should consult with the Navi to check it out to see if it's correct. They shouldn't pass it on their own, and they shouldn't ignore working on it. They shouldn't just go to the Navi right away. They should try to work out on their own, and after they come to their conclusion, then they have to check it out with the Navi. The Gemara says, but David HaMelech did. David winds up stooping in Sefer Shmuel like that. David HaMelech was working on the issue, where should we build the Beit HaMikdash? Because this was Sefer Vayyonin. Every time he was victorious in that one, he would win, he would gain all the precious metals from the enemies, the gold, the silver, and the copper. He would be magdash everything for the Beit HaMikdash. He was preparing to build the Beit HaMikdash for many, many years. He was preparing. But then when he was finally holding by building the Beit HaMikdash, he decided, let's have a committee of Rabban, the committee that's supposed to discuss the Makom HaMikdash, they discussed the stuff, they decided we're going to build the Beit HaMikdash in the location the highest location above sea level in Eretz Yisrael. It makes sense. Beit HaMikdash Gavaya, it says Yerushalayim Gavaya Mikol HaRetzish. The Beit HaMikdash, he says, how does it say in the process? He follows him Chazov Al HaMishpat, they dam the dam the din the sense of it. Come to the Alisa Al HaMochem, Al HaMishad Beit HaMikdash Gavaya Mikol Eretz Yisrael. But he knew the process in the Chodesh, he looked through the whole Eretz Yisrael. He determined that Ein Ritzin is the location, the highest location above sea level. He says that's what it says in the Pasuk. You have to build the Beit HaMikdash in the highest location. And then, so that was the conclusion, that was the pshat of the committee, of the Vaad, for the discussion of the Mokam HaMikdash. Then the Halacha said you have to consult the Navi. He said they consulted the Navi. He said they guessed wrong. It's supposed to be built in Yerushalayim, not in Ein Ritzin. Yerushalayim is not the highest location above sea level. Ein Ritzin is. So what happens? The tenth day of Sakashna, not Gemara, Sanhedrin, the end of Sanhedrin. So the answer is, Ein Ritzin is the highest location above sea level. And he thought that that shot, Yerushalayim, Gevaya, Beit HaMikdash, Hatzi, Gevaya, Mekal Eretz Yisrael, above sea level. And then he told him, no, it means the Negev to the, when you hold the globe, what do you hold on top? You hold Yerushalayim on top. It doesn't mean what the highest, when it says Eretz Yisrael, Gevaya, Mekal Eretz Yisrael, is on top, means on top. Eretz Yisrael is not higher than the Swiss Alps. Doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael is the highest elevation above sea level. There are other places that are higher. What it means, Eretz Yisrael means I'll peek in. When you hold the globe, you don't hold the North Pole on top. You don't hold the South Pole on top. You hold Eretz Yisrael on top. Am I not Kamina? So, the Rishonim say not Kamina is an international day point. Not Kamina, Baba. So when you hold Eretz Yisrael on top, which part of Eretz Yisrael do you hold on top? So Baba says, you hold Yerushalayim on top. You don't. Ein Ritzin is the highest elevation above sea level. So that's what Zavon now thought that shot. The Kamta the Alisa Lamaka means Makam HaMikdash has to be Gavoya, means the highest elevation above sea level. Then the Navi told him, no, that's not what it means. It means a different thing. Because the Gemara says that he was working on the topic. And he thought to be Mekadosh, he chose Ein Ritzin. And then he consulted with the Navi. The Navi told him, you guessed wrong. It has to be in the Yerushalayim, not in Ein Ritzin. But then the Gemara says in Zohar Dab Tzatz, the Gemara Zohar Dab Tzama. And then the Gemara says Zohar Dab Chob Zalit. And he went ahead and he was Mekadosh the Makam of the Azorah. But the Rambam says the Shlomo was Mekadosh. I mean, that's the other Kedusha. The Kedusha is Beit HaMikdash. Like in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it only had Kedusha of Beit HaMikdash. It didn't have the status of Beit HaRamim. They knew for sure. This was not the... They knew they were going to be traveling for 40 years. For sure this was. You're going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And this would have built a place of leaders in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Gimel mitzvah, Tavi told this, Nisaf and Lahar. When you enter Eretz Yisrael, you become obligated to fulfill three mitzvahs. The first is Laham HaMelech, and then Laham HaZar Shal HaMalek, and then Livnus Laham Beis HaPchir. What do you mean Livnus Beis HaPchir? Shinech Nusu Lahar. You had a mitzvah of the Yosef HaMikdash right away in the Midbar. The answer is no, this is to build the Beis HaMikdash. But Livnus Laham Beis HaPchir, that's the Lashon HaGemara. That's the Lashon HaRamam. Ramam quoting the Gemara. The mitzvah to build the Beis HaPchir, that's only the Shinech Nusu Lahar. And that's what Mitzvah has to do with that. Laham Nezelech, Lahap Zarish on Amalek, Livnus Beis HaPchira. That's what David was involved in all of those. He was the Melech, he was the Malka kind of Cheres, and he wiped out Amalek, he was fighting against Amalek. So he was prepared to Livnus Beis HaPchira. So that's what he made a committee, and they decided it's going to be Ein Ritzin, and then they consulted the Navi, and the Navi said, wrong, has to be Yerushalayim, and then he was Mekadosh Yerushalayim. He only resounded the Kedusha Beis HaPchira, he didn't resound the Kedusha Beis HaMikdash. Because the Navi didn't permit him to build this, and the Gemara says the Shmuel that the Kiddush of the Beit HaMikdash is only B'shaz Dinyan. That he wasn't there B'shaz Dinyan. Plus it lists off all the different materials which they needed, Zohar HaChesed and HaKoshes, etc. But one of the materials, one of the raw materials was Olos HaChoshim, the hide from a Tachash animal. What kind of an animal is this? The Rashi quotes the Gemara in Daman HaLikin that says that this is an animal that was only in the Shoah. The animal doesn't exist anymore. So if the animal doesn't exist, how can Targum Onkelos give you a translation of what it is if it doesn't exist? So Rashi gives you a pshat. How can Targum Onkelos identify if no such animal exists? It was only there to show. The Rashi gives you the Targum Onkelos. It says Sasgona is not a name of an animal. It means Shesaf Digvanim Shalom. It has it's multicolored, and it is the animal is very enjoys very much the fact that it has a multicolored hide. But Gat Gomla is not a name of an animal. There is no such animal. It's a description of the animal. You can't have a name if the animal doesn't. That's a Rashi quote from the Gemara. So then the Gemara in Amim Adlikin, in the second parak in Shabbos, the Gemara has a question. This animal that was only there, the shore, doesn't exist any longer. Didn't exist in earlier generations, doesn't exist in later generations. The Gemara wants to know, was it a kosher animal or was it a safe animal? So the Gemara says, no, it has to be a kosher animal. There's nothing to discuss. Why not? Because we have a halakha l'moshe nisina gemiri. The Gemara says, we have a tradition that lahukshu l'molech shamayim alor behemah tohar bovad. You can only use from the kosher animal. You can't use from the non-kosher animal. Then the Gemara asks, what do you need halakha l'moshe nisina for? Isn't it a pasuk in Chumash? In the parsha of Tfilin. It says, v'man tiyata Hashem b'sichu kibiyat chazok v'hotiyat Hashem in Mitzrayim. So the Gemara has a drasha. That's not the pshut shel mikra. The Gemara has a drasha. V'man tiyah Tzoret Hashem b'sichu, that you can only write parshiyos of Tfilin on a parchment that comes from a hide of an animal, which is a kosher animal. The hide itself is not edible. So the hide is from the hide from a non-kosher animal is not trait. It's not butter. The side behind the tomato is trait. So all the gidli kanan and the slopim is not included in the prohibition of the side behind the tomato. Because it's not roi lachila. It's not roi lamachal odom. But nonetheless, the Gemara learns out from the Pasuk, "Lamanti yoter seshem b'sicha min amuta b'sicha." The hide has to come from such an animal whose flesh it may be eaten. If the flesh may not be eaten, then you can't use that hide to write the Sefer Torah for the mezuzah sign. So the Gemara asks, "What do you need Allah from Moshe Messina?" So the Gemara answers, "No. Lamanti yoter seshem b'sicha only applies in Sefer Torah for the mezuzah when you're writing Torah, writing Divrei Torah. But over here on the walls of the Mishkan." These are the walls of the Mishkan. Horus Koshim, so that's, you don't have any words from Tanakh written on that. So that's not Torah. So that's called the Huchshul Malacha Shamayim. That's called used expression. The Huchshul Malacha Shamayim. The religious purposes, they have to use that Korb. That's Allah HaMashim Mishina. If you write it, if you Torah on the parchment, on the leather, then it has to come. Then it's a Pasuk and Chumash. Then it's learned that from the Pasuk and Chumash, that it has to be from the kosher animal. If you're not writing psukim, then it's not Torah Hashem, then it's only known to Allah HaMashim Yisina. The Gemara says, what about the different parts of the tefillin? So the Gemara says, the cloth of the tefillin that has psukim written on it, that's Torah Hashem. The Bayishal Rosh that has a shin on it, that's Torah Hashem, even though it's only a letter. Not only don't you have a whole parsha, you don't have a whole pasuk, you don't even have a whole word, you just have a shin. The Gemara says, one letter is also a Torah. In the bigger mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you learn the Gemara with the Tosis, with the Mashal, with the Rabbah, and with the Rav Shinnah. So if you just want one letter, that's it. You can't go, that's all you have time for, is one letter Shin. So that's also Talmud Torah. It's also considered Torah. So the Gemara says, that's what it says in the Gemara. So the Bayish only has a letter Shin on it, that's also called the Chepta of Torah. So the Bayish HaRosh has to be Menahmuta Besicha from the kosher animal, I from the kosher animal, that's based on the Rosh of Torah Hashem Besicha. But the Ritzuas don't have any Oikias on them. So that's what the Gemara says. That's learned. That's how do you know the Ritzuas of the Tzulim have to be from Mor or Rabbi Kedegar has them? How do you know the Baishal Yad? Baishal Yad doesn't have any letters at all. It doesn't have a shin. Only Baishal Yad. How do you know the Baishal Yad? How do you know the Ritzuas have to be from Mor Bein Torah? So that's from the same Halacha Moshe Nisinai as over here. The Hukshul Malacha Shamayim. Halacha Bein Torah Vodat. Like we have established that the Takash must have been a kosher animal, otherwise it wouldn't, it means Malagir Makas Pais, otherwise you wouldn't be allowed, they wouldn't have been permitted to use it for the Mishkan, for that Malacha Shamayim. So who are the Nami, the Ritzuas of the Tfilin and the Bayish Al Yad, have the same status. That's the shayla of what if, Brian Grossman from London, has a tefillin about this in the States, that they made a fancy, expensive Aron Kodesh. We want to spend a lot of money, rich Shalabat, and want to pour in a lot of money in their Aron Kodesh. So they lined the inside of the Aron Kodesh with jet black leather, horse leather, from horses. So the shayla is the Sachat Tashmish Ekdusha. Are you allowed to use horse leather? Horses are behemoth the mayor. But the shayla is like this, the Ritzuas have to be made from leather. And the batten has to be made from leather. The parches have to be leather. The Ozechoshim has to be leather. Here is the din, l'hukshem l'achashamayim, l'arbeim t'ababah. There's no halacha that says you have to have leather in the inside lining of the Aron Kodesh. You can have a wooden Aron Kodesh. It doesn't have to be from an animal over there. So that's an Aruch HaShulchan has that Ein Father. Aruch HaShulchan has this, and then his son, the Torah Nima, writes it on his own without writing that his father said the same thing. And that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tefillin. It says when you tie up, when you have the in the Bayis Shalosh, you have Tavish Eitriach Shema Ayam Shema. Each one of the Dal Tarshis is wrapped up separately, and then you wrap it up with string. So if, when you wrap that up with string, that's not the Chalokes, the Styron. That is halacha moshi b'simon. That's kakadik. So that has to come from a kosher animal. But I already forgot there's something over there that I think you, I think the minig is that you cover the parshiyos with another piece of parchment, which is not necessary. The minig is some that you put in another piece of parchment. So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. There's that parchment that's not required, but we put it in as a hida mitzvah, that it should be nicer. If you put something in the hidden mitzvah, is that subject to the din that has to be minamutta b'sifah? Has no debater if it's not it. So it's not teres Hashem b'sifah, but does it have to be l'chuk shalom l'achishman v'lar b'hitar b'lar? Because it doesn't require the cloud that it should be from an animal. So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber and Rambam quote a machlekes to Rishonim about that. So the Aruch HaShulchan Svarah, the Teres Nima, the father and the son both say the same tiddish. That's really, I don't know why they don't quote, that's a machlekes in Mechaber and Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin. So that was the shadow about the lining of the Aron Kodesh. There's a discussion also whether this halacha l'moshe b'Sinai applies only to Tashmish and Kedusha, or even applies to Tashmish and Mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shezer quotes the Ram on the list in Masechet Rosh Hashanah that a shofar has to be from an animal. If it's man-made, if it's synthetic, it's no good. So the shofar has to be from a kosher animal. You can't use a shofar for a non-kosher animal. The Be'er HaGoyla on the side of the Shulchan Aruch has a kasha that it doesn't exist. The Gemara says in Kulan that if an animal has horns that you can make a shofar from, it's a sin of the Azua, then it's a kosher animal. So how can it be such a hefetimsa as a shofar from a non-kosher animal? That's another discussion. The Be'er HaGoyla talks about that kasha, and the other Rashi talks about that. But the Ran has a chiddush that's quoted by the Ramon, Hilchos Shofar, that if you have a shofar from a non-kosher animal, it's not acceptable, it's not kosher for the mitzvah, because Baruch Shem HaMalach HaShamayim and the Lord Be'im HaTorah Bilvad. So that Ram was the first one who came up with this Ein Father, this Kiddush, that this halacha of the Baruch Shem and the Lord Be'im HaTorah Bilvad is not restricted only to Tashmish Kedusha, it even extends to Tashmish Mitzvah. The Shofar is Tashmish Mitzvah. After Rosh Hashanah is over, if you want, you can throw the Shofar in the garbage. It's not the same as a Sefer Torah Tefillin and Mezuzahs, or Mental of the Sefer Torah, or Tefillin Zekel, or an Aron Kodesh that after you finish, you're not allowed to throw it out, it's Nignozim. Tashmish Kedusha Nignozim, but Tashmish and Mitzvah on his Rokim, Rosh Hashanah, after Rosh Hashanah, it's a Tashmish and Mitzvah, after the Zman and Mitzvah is up. So the Ram has this Kedush. Oh, Hashulchan claims that that's Shat and Rabbi Natan also, Rabbi Natan in the end of Yevamah, there's a Perek Mitzvah Chalitza. Has all the self-contained Perek, has all the dinim of Chalitza, how do you call Chalitza? So the Rabbi Natan is quoted in Tosfos from Perek Mitzvah Chalitza saying, Chalitza shoe, the Gemara has to be made from leather, Achleikus Satanai. And we're Machmer, the Chalitza shoe has to be made from leather, the standard shoes that we wear today are horse leather. So Rabbi Natan says that that's not acceptable, because the horse is a non-kosher animal, it has to be or behemoth or herb. But that's also Kiddush. That's also Kiddush. What does he mean? That's the din in leather shoes. So on Yom Kippur you're permitted to wear leather shoes as long as it's not from a kosher animal. The Gemara says like this, how do you know that a shoe by definition means leather? And if you have slippers or sneakers, it's not called a shoe. For Tisha B'Av and for Yom Kippur and for Avelus and for Halitza purposes, it's all the same din. So the Gemara learns it out from a pasuk in Yecheskel, but in all that tochash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the way he took care of the Jewish people after they left Mitzrayim, and he bathed them and he diapered them and he smeared them with baby oil and baby powder, and he straightened out their limbs like a mother taking care of a little baby. The Jewish people were just born at that time. So the Sukh can give them also like a mother taking care of a little baby. And then when the baby gets a little older, so the mother buys the beautiful clothing. Then it says, then Allah Tachash, and I put on Nalayim, I put on shoes from Tachash, from Or Tachash. That's how the Novi Cheskel uses the expression. So the Tana that we fasten like he says that it's only called shoes. If it's leather, and if it's not leather, you're permitted to wear it on your kippur, and it's not good for halitza. Learns it out, it's not something in Chesko. They know of tachash, only tachash is called leather. Anything other than tachash is not called leather. The Rabbi Natan says, oh, tachash, the Gemara says, and leather not leaking. Tachash was a kosher animal. So the only time it's good for halitza is if it's from a kosher animal. If it's horse leather shoe, it's not good for halitza because the tachash has to be a kosher animal. So the Achrayim asked, what do you mean? And I'm going to care for you, allowed to wear shoes that are made from horse leather. And I'm Tisha B'Av. And I'm Avelut, you're allowed to only from kosher animal. So the Dorach HaShulchan says he doesn't think that the Rabbi Nisam then, that's what Rabbi Nisam says. Tachash is a kosher animal. So the Dorach HaShulchan says he doesn't think that's what he was driving at. You're not allowed to wear horse leather shoes on Yom Kippur either. But he means for Chalitza, Chalitza is a mitzvah. So that's it. Even though he didn't say that, he thinks that's what he says in them. Hushum, Malach HaShamayim, Malach HaShamayim, Malach HaShamayim, Malach HaShamayim, but Chalitza is a mitzvah, not just a matzah. Since you're using the shoe for the purpose of a mitzvah, so it's like a shofar. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ran both have this finish. That this halacha of Moshe Mitzvah that will hook shuru, the Malach HaShamayim, Malach HaShamayim, Malach HaShamayim, doesn't restrict itself only to Tashmisha and Kiddusha, it even extends to Tashmisha and Mitzvah. It could well be that there are Rishonim who disagree. There's discussions. I'm trying to have discussions with them. We mentioned some of the clay hamigdash, the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. So we mentioned the Mizbah HaKtoris. The Mizbah HaKtoris is Binyan. The Mizbah HaKtoris is a kli. And the Shulchan and the Menorah. The Shad is, what about the Orem? Also Orem. Asay Shittim. So it's interesting that when the Rambam in Hilchos Beit HaPkira describes the mitzvah to build the Beit HaMikdash, you have to have a harabayis, you have to have a zara and a hechal and a kodesh hakadoshim and a different, and then he describes the klei hamikdash, and he only describes the kelim. He describes the binyan and he describes the kelim, and he leaves out the aron. He doesn't write the aron there. So from the Rambam it would appear that he holds that the aron, and maybe some would disagree, but from the Rambam it would appear that the Rav Moshe Soloveitchik wrote, that the Rav Yashadeh Soloveitchik wrote. So in the Rambam he gets information when he holds that the Aron is not from the furniture of the Beit HaMikdash. The Aron is a different part. The Aron, like in the Bayis Sheni, the Aron wasn't there. The Aron was not there. And they fulfilled the mitzvah of Beit HaMikdash. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Sefer Torah, the end of Hilchos Sefer Torah, he says you have to show great kavod to the Sefer Torah. How do you know? So the Gemara, the Makkah says the famous comment, the Sefer Torah Gemara. So the Gemara says, it says you have to stand up and the Talmachachim goes by. If they say the Talmachachim, I die for the name Zalkim, you have to be Mechabit the Talmachachim. So if the Tzneilam, Zerom, the Mipanel, the Koshkin, you certainly have to stand up when the Talmachachim, when the Sefer Torah is brought by. So the Gemara derives the Talmachachim, if not something, you have to give Kovit to Sefer Torah. But the Rambam writes, part of the mitzvah of giving Kovit to the Sefer Torah requires that you should place the Sefer Torah in a Makam Yuchat. Let's say sometimes people go away for a weekend and they borrow Sefer Torah from the shul and they leave it, they rent a place and they leave it in the closet in their bedroom on top shelf, or they put it in a drawer or something. So that's not Kavod Asay. The Rambam says you have to have, like the Chevron Kadisha has a portable Aron Kodesh. So you should hold the Sefer Torah in a portable, in an Aron Kodesh on top. Don't have to be Aron Kodesh that's attached to the wall. You can have a portable Aron Kodesh. That's part of the din of Kavod Asay. The Rambam says, how long ago that's that chelik of the Kavod Asay, you have to stand up and say the Torah. Okay, that's the same Sefer Torah. Kavod Chaim, that's the Sefer Torah. I didn't know that you need a Makom Miyuchad to the Sefer Torah. So the Rambam says, that's what you see from the Aron. That the Aron only has in it the Aseret HaDibros, and you see you have to give Kavod to the Aseret HaDibros by having an Aron, the Sefer Torah, which has the Aseret HaDibros plus much more. It's an interesting Rambam. Which has more Kedusha? The Aseret HaDibros and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the Sefer Torah here in the Yeshivas? So the Rambam says Sefer Torah has more. Which is worth more money? Aseret Atibah, that the author is happy.
I'm just an listable of people.
The Baruch Shalom authored that. Man, she engraved it. So that's worth billions. It's priceless. How are you going to pay? It's not that. That's worth much more. It's much more valuable historically and everything. It's much more valuable than any sefer Torah that we happen to have in a shul. The Rambam says as far halakhically, speaking about which has more kedusha, so the Gemara says that that tefillin have more kedusha than mezuzah, because mezuzah only has two kashyas. And the tefillin have those two plus another two. You have kaddish and kiryah, but shmav al yom shemayim. And the sefer Torah has more kedusha than tefillin, because the tefillin only have four kashyas, and the sefer Torah has the four kashyas plus much more. So the Rambam says any old sefer Torah that you have anywhere in the world has more kedusha than the Aseret Atibah in the Oron HaKodesh and the Oron HaBris. Why? Because any sefer Torah has the Aseret Atibah plus much more. Has the Aseret Atibah is part of Parshas Yisro. The sefer Torah has from Bereishis till the end of Dvarim, including the Aseret Atibah plus much more. So the Rambam says of Kal Vachomer, if the Halacha requires that you have to be mechabe the Luchos, which only have the Aseret Atibah in, and you have to be mechabe in this Rashma having a Malkam Yuchos, instead of the Malkam Sefer Torah. So the Rambam sounds very clearly in Hilchos Sefer Torah that he's saying that the function of the Aron is not to serve as one of the Klei HaMikdash at all, but rather to be mechabed the to be mechabed the Luchos, to be mechabed the Sefer Torah. Avraham Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChayim, he's explaining that Gemara in the Gilas, which quotes a writer that distinguishes between Tashmish Kedusha and Tashmish Mitzvah. If you have a talis, an old talis that's worn out that nobody wants to wear, even if you give it to the Gabbai in the shul, he doesn't accept it. It's too worn out, yellow and torn and looks awful. So or you have an old shofar that nobody wants to use, you have an old ruler, an old vestra that no one wants to use. So the dinner, you throw it in the garbage. It says that you shouldn't throw it together with the rest of the dirty garbage, the dirty diapers or the chicken bones. You put it in a separate bin and then you throw it in the garbage. As opposed to Tashmish and Kedusha, if you have a Sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah which becomes possible and you can't fix it, or you have a tefillin zeko, or a paresis of an Ankedesh, or a mentala of a Sefer Torah, something like that, or a garbage of a Sefer Torah, that has the status of Tashmish and Kedusha, and even if it can't be used anymore, the Kabbalah requires that you have to put it in the shame. The Chaim Rosen wants to know what's the key to determine what's Tashmish Kedusha and what's Tashmish Mitzvah. So he says it's obvious from the Gemara that maybe Tanoim who disagree. The Ramban in the end of Moed Katan has a bright, he says that there is a Tanu who argues by Tzitzi. But the Chaim Rosen says the way it's always gepaskins in the Gemara and the bright in the Gemara and Megillah, the way we have accepted it, like that bright, is that this is Tashmish Mitzvah, not Tashmish Kedusha. So how do you determine what's Tashmish Kedusha, what's Tashmish Mitzvah? So he said the definition we used before, if it has the great Torah, if it has words of Torah on it, then it's Gufik Kedusha. The Ritzuas of the film don't have any words of Torah at all, but that's also called Tashmish Kedusha, because the Ritzuas of the film have a Shaitas to the Parshas and the Tzillah. So that's called Tashmish Kedusha. The Parsha itself, the Klav itself, is the Gufik Kedusha, because it has the Divrei Torah on it. And the Bayis Shel Rosh has the Shin on it, that's the Gufik Kedusha. The Bayis Shel Yad and the Ritzuas, which don't have any Oisius, have no Divrei Torah, but that's Tashmish Kedusha because they're Tokel to the Divrei Torah. But if you have a Tzitzis, or you have or you have a shofar, or a lulav, or an estra, that's only Tashmish Mitzvah. So why does the Beit HaMikdash have Kedusha? Well, you have words written on the walls, you don't have Divrei Torah, you don't have Psukim written on the walls. So the answer is, but the whole essence of the Mishkan is Mishkan HaEdus, to house the Luchos HaEdus. So since the whole purpose, that's the Rambam HaChumash has the whole Arichas, that's what it sounds from the Rambam also, beginning of the Luchos Beis HaChira, the whole essence of the Beit HaMikdash is to have a place to house the Luchos. So that's why the whole Beit HaMikdash has Kedusha, because it contains the Luchos in it. In the Bayis Sheni, the Luchos were not there. Rabbi Levi pointed out that the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaChira writes, usually the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah only writes halachas. Once in a long while he'll write a little mussar. Right, based on this halacha we should learn a mussar haskam. Very rarely. But he doesn't put in history unnecessarily. So here the Rambam writes a piece of history which we don't really understand. He says when Shlomo HaMelech built the first place on Migdash, he built an underground wall to house the Luchos when the time will come that we'll have to place them there. And the whole period of the Vayishenu, the Luchos were there and that vault under the ground. It's more in humor. Have different ideas, different Tanaim have different suggestions where the Luchos were. The Rambam adapts that position. So after that she was wondering, why does the Rambam have to take a stand on this? You should put this in the mind of Luchiva, put it somewhere else in the Pirush HaMishnah. And the Aruch HaZoch, he only writes Halacha, he only writes Dinim. So he had the impression that the Rambam was bothered with this Kasha. How did the second Beis HaMikdash have the status of Pirush HaMikdash at all? If all in Yoni Kedusha, Meir Akhav HaLoshin develops this, he said all in Yoni Kedusha revolve about Divrei Torah. So the Mishkan that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu had the Luchos HaEdus there. It's called Mishkan HaEdus. So the essence of the Mishkan was the Luchos HaEdus by Grisha and that also. The Ari Kodesh with the Luchos, but the Vaisheni didn't have to. How can you have a Grisha with Vaisheni if you didn't have Luchos? So he thought that that's what the Rambam was coming to answer. That when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he was told Hakubit Sami Arashem Alai House, because that was part of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, to have a special vault under the ground to house the Luchos, that the Luchos were in the Beis HaMikdash in the correct place. What correct would have been in the Kodesh HaKadoshim? And second best, according to the plans, were, according to the initial plans that were given Hakubit Sami Arashem Alai House, that there's a second location, second best location where to place the Luchos. The whole period of Baisheni, the Luchos were there. Then I shall basically expand it on the scene. On another occasion, he discussed how come there's such a concept as Kedusha Ta'orah. Why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? Well, why do they have super roots in Eretz Yisrael? So he thought that the Kedusha Rishayim of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished through the Kibush. Kibush V'chibush. The Chaluk of Eretz Yisrael was the Gemara of the Kibush. So he said that the Kibush of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished by the Aron Abiz, the Pesuk Nisei Yeshua, that the Aron Abiz was the Sailor's name. And it knocked out all the enemies. So the Kedusha Ta'aret, the first time around, the Kedusha Rishayim was accomplished through Teresh Yisrael, through the Oren Abriz, that had the Luchos with the Sefer Teresh Yisrael Moshe. Then, alright, so that is great. Maybe that explains the Kedusha Ta'aret, Bizman, the Kedusha Rishayim. But then, Bizman Vaisheni, when they came back, and we assumed that the Kedusha Ta'aret was Bakla, Kedusha Rishayim was Bakla, so then when the Kaddish Yisrael the second time around, so there was no Kibush. The Luchos was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. What it has to do with Divrei Torah. So that's when he developed the whole theme that maybe the Torah of Alper was Mekadosh. The first Kedusha was Ayidei Torah Shav Etzav. The Kedusha Shnei perhaps was Ayidei Torah Shav Alper. And the Gemara says that Kimo the Kibu, Kimo Mashikib Lutvar. That is, Chachamim says that originally in Laman HaSinai, the only were prepared to accept Torah Shav Etzav. And only after the Nes Purim, which occurred prior to the Nisa Lorit, prior to the Kiddush Eretz Yisrael for the second time around, that's when they're Mekabel the Torah Shemalpeh. That's when he thought maybe the fact that they're Mekabel the Torah Shemalpeh, maybe the Kiddush of Torah Shemalpeh spilled over onto Eretz Yisrael. And then he added on, maybe that's the explanation as to why the Kiddush of Rishayna lends itself to Churban and the Kiddush of Shneer didn't lend itself to Churban. But the Kiddush of Rishayna was accomplished through the Kerech of the Torah Shemalpeh. The Torah Shemalpeh is an object. The Sefer Torah that has words. That's Suk Mitnah. If you burn the Sefer Torah, it gets current. So just like the Torah Shabbat lends itself to Hurman, so the Kedusha Rishayna lends itself to Hurman. But the Torah Shabbat Peh is not a test, it's not an object. It belongs to the world of ideas. So just like Torah Shabbat Peh doesn't lend itself to Hurman, so too the Kedusha Shnei perhaps didn't lend itself to Hurman. This was the theme of a Yortzeit Drosh on one occasion. The Chumash speaks about the different, so the question is, the Rambam seems to hold that the Oren was not the Miklei HaMikdash. Maybe that other Rishonim disagree. There isn't Sefer HaMitzvah, it's also a discussion. Some Rishonim say the Rambam seems to say like that in Sefer HaMitzvah explicitly. That the Oren was for the purpose of Kovodas Sefer Torah, Kovodas Luchos. It's not the Miklei HaMikdash. The Miklei HaMikdash are the Menorah, and the Shulchan, and the Mizbach HaKtoris. Mizbach Oren, the outside, that's part of the Dinyan. So that's the Chumash has that first, the Oren. And the Chumash has the Dinyan of the Shulchan. The Shulchan is for the purpose of leaving the Lechem HaPanim on it. And the Gemara says, why is it called Lechem HaPanim? It means that it has to have a specific shape. Lechem panim lefanai sami. Rashi writes, lechem panim sheyesh lo panim, has a specific shape. What is that specific shape that the lechem panim is supposed to be in? So the Gemara in the end of Menachos has a terek shtei halechem, which speaks about the differences between shtei halechem and the lechem panim. Shtei halechem was a carbon that was brought on Shavuos. The lechem panim was placed on the shulchan every Shabbos. Every Friday they would bake lechem panim. One time I hold that you're allowed to bake lechem panim, a blazer holds you're allowed to bake lechem panim on Shabbos. And Achshire Yitzvah Dech Shabbos. We don't talk like that. We talk that you bake it on Erev Shabbos. And if Erev Shabbos is Yontif, then you bake it on Thursday. And if it's 2 days Yontif, and the Beis Hamikdash, once in a while they had 2 days Yontif Rosh Hashanah. So 2 days Rosh Hashanah fall out on Thursday and Friday, but then they have to bake the lechem panim on Wednesday. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So they would bake it sometimes Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They would put it on the Shulchan on Shabbos, and it would sit there for a whole week, and they take it off the next week. So this is all the dinim of the lechem panim are perek shtei halechem towards the end of Maseches Menachos. So the Gemara there has a machlokes on the Rishonim. What is the lechem? None of them saw the lechem panim. None of the Tanaim saw the Tanaim and the Mishnayos never saw the lechem panim. They were after the Korban Abayim. The Gemara has a question. They're not sure what it's supposed to look like. So one says it looked like a sinor or kedis. It looked like a canoe. A canoe that bobs back and forth in the water. And the other opinion in the Gemara is that it looked like a teva pusa. It looked like a trunk with four walls and a flat bottom and hollowed out in the middle. Hollowed in the teva pusa, an open trunk. My impression is that that's the reason why the minig is that there are two shakes of chalas for Shabbos. Because in Shulchan Aruch they quote from the Zohar that the chalas are zechah to the lechem panim. And that's why he says you have 12. There were 12 lechem panim, 2 marochet, 6 on each marochet. So just like there are 12 lechem panim, so too we have 12. So what do we mean we have 12? So the chassidim have, some chassidim say 12 chalas. Some have a meaning that they make one gigantic challah which is made up of 12 little balls. And you can rip off separate balls and you have some sort of 12. The only Goyim who was anti-Hasidim said that they all always, of course, and misunderstood the Zohar. Hasidim don't understand that that's all they do. Tomorrow they don't learn, all they learn is Zohar. So the only Goyim says, of course, they didn't understand the Zohar. And he said, it means you have Yud-Beit, you have some Chatzoy. If you need Lechem Mishnah on Friday night, you need Lechem Mishnah Shabbos morning, you need Lechem Mishnah by Shabbos Shudas, and he is Nachmad, the only one says you should follow the Rambam's sheet to that. You have to cut both bottles for the Lechem Mishnah. You don't just cut one and put away the shreds. The one you don't cut is not, doesn't count for the Lechem Mishnah. But if you have six bottles on something, cut them all in half, so you have 12 half bottles. So that's what the only one says. Doesn't mean that at one given meal you have 12 bottles. It means the sum total of all the three meals, Shabbos Shudas, and you have Lechem Mishnah each time, and you take both colors, so that up to 12 Chatzoy helps. So since the Zohar makes such a statement that the chalas that we eat on Shabbos are supposed to be zechah to the Lechem HaPanim that we have in Beis HaMikdash, I think that's why there are two customs how to make chalas. And some make the chalas like a canoe, with two points at either end, and in fact wide in the middle, looks like the shape of a canoe. And others have this section of chalas that look like a rectangular shape. That's the shape of prusa. Possibly they put a hollow inside. It's too hard. So make a rectangular shape with the right angles in it. That's the shape of prusa. And the sphena or kedus are the section of chalas. And for yantas, you make circular chalas. Because the chalas on yantas have nothing to do with the lechem apart. On Shabbos, they did two minhagim. On yantas has nothing to do with the lechem apart. Yantas is yantas. The Pasuk says that the lechem panim should be lechem panim lefanai sami. It should always be the tzmidus on the shulchan. And the Mishnah has a Menachos has a machlokes hapanayim. So one Tanah insists that when you take off the old lechem panim that was placed on their Shabbos, you take it off this Shabbos, they have a whole bunch of karma holding the new lechem panim. And they place it on while the others are taking off the old ones. Here. The Gemara says, Tisra Shalzev, it's not Tisra Shalzev, Vishnu says. Their fist is right next to their fist. So you have Kohanim taking off this Lechem HaPanim from their fist. You have new Kohanim pushing on new Lechem HaPanim. So the Shulchan will not be sitting even a reg echad without Lechem HaPanim. As they're taking off the old one, the new one is placed on. So that's literally from this. Lechem HaPanim lefanai sami. And the other Tana says, nah, Vishnu fella. Even if they take off the old lechem apanim shachris, they put on the new lechem apanim arvis, there's a gap of 10 hours in between, that's called tamid. Tamid means that the shulchan wasn't missing lechem panim a whole day. Every day there was lechem panim. Shabbos was taken care of, they put on the lechem panim before the end of the day. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos morning again, and then Shabbos afternoon, they put on the new lechem panim, that's called tamid. That's the machlokes ha-tanoim in the Mishnah in Ochus. And the Gemara has a comment on that Mishnah. Just like we require hasmadah by the lechem hapanim, so too the mitzvah commentary requires hasmadah. A person is obligated to learn the hasmadah. So what's the definition of hasmadah? The guy's today, he's in Matara, he learns 45 minutes a day, he learns an hour a day, and he's yotzi, he learns his daf yomi, that's it. But he say no, he's obligated to learn every 3 minutes. He can't say learn all day and all night, he can drop dead. That's it. You gotta take care of, you gotta make a living, you gotta take care of other things also. But the question is every 3 minutes of one time. Is one obligated to learn every 3 minutes of one time? Is he able to? If he's not able, he's not able. But a guy can't absorb so much. A guy's gonna, he does not have to concentrate for so long. There's nothing to discuss, okay? Well, let the person can. But he's not interested. Is the obligation to learn the Hatzmadah, does it mean one is obligated to learn a little bit every day? A day shouldn't go by without a little learning. But he's saying, no, a person has to learn every 3 minutes of the day and the night. So the Gemara understands this as a machlokes, depending on this machlokes hapanoim, as to what's the definition of Hatzmadah by the Lechem Hapanoim. If you should assume that you need Hatzmadah Ma'amis by the Lechem Hapanoim, Tifa Shadev, it's called Tifa Shadev, their fist, the next to their fist, that they were putting on the new lechem hapanim, and they were taking off the old lechem hapanim, so then you would require hasmad and mamish by the mitzvah of commentary as well. Even if all that it means they just learn a little bit every day, the passage in Yeshua modifies that a little bit. It says, "Nagisa bal yom v'layla." So the Baruch tells Yeshua, "Then you should learn every day and every night." So it's not just every day, a little bit every day. Let's say tefillah. The Rambam's opinion is that there's a mitzvah in the Atzeres to daven, and it doesn't say in Kumis how often you have to daven. The self understood that it means once a day, every day. You have to daven in Atzeres once a day, every day. Or it says the Kohanim have to do it. When they are called upon to recite the Birchas Kam, they're obligated to do it. So the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say how often. They can schlep them on Yom Tov. There's a Mitzvah Sikhan Minyan, so they're going to wake up to Kohen from his sleep at 6 o'clock in the morning, he should come to him. And then there's the next Minyan, then the next Minyan, the next Minyan, the next Minyan, so they're going to all day long, they're going to slap him, come to him, here comes, he can spend all day long, don't they? Stand by the Kohen Maharaj, every minute there's another Minyan. So the Kohen won't be able to leave, they'll always call on the Kohen, to do him. So the Gemara says, no, it doesn't say how often you have to do him, so it's understood once a day, every day. And if they call upon you a second time in the day to duchen, you can say, oh, I'm not interested, I don't want to. If you want to, that's wonderful, problem. So go duchen a second time. And even paskin, machlegis, we even paskin that you say a bracha when you duchen a second time on the same day. But if I don't call some machlegim hold, you don't duchen a second time, so you don't say a bracha the second time you duchen, because you're either obligated in a certain one with the rabban. So I can say that you won't. There's no need to duchen a second time in the day. And we don't follow that opinion. We pass like the other opinion quoted by the Magen Avraham, that if you duchen a second time, so you do say the bracha, Kedishan, and the source of the Tivan. But here also, if it doesn't say how often you have to learn Talmud Torah, so the Gemara has one time on the sins, once a day, every day. The other time it says, no, it has to be the Hasmadah. Like the Lechem Hapanim has to be the Hasmadah literally, so the learning has to be the Hasmadah. But the other time it doesn't hold that that's Shad Hasmadah, that's what it means on a regular basis. Regular basis means once a day, every day, for a little bit. You have to be Kaveh Itim Latera, a couple of minutes every day. The Pasuk in Yeshua modifies that and says, not enough, once a day every day, has three grants of every day, once a night every night. Not enough, not the same as Dukhaning and Sila, that once a day every day within a 24-hour period. But Yisabal Yomel Vavoyla, once a day every day and once a night every night. That's why the Magen Avraham starts off to Arachayim, the first Magen Avraham. Quotes the Shavara, who preceded him by 100 years, so the Shavara says, the minig of used to be, that the Balibatim would sit and learn with the Nimcha Maris. They would dive in the 25 minutes before the Shkia. Then when they would finish Nimcha, they would sit down to a table and they would start learning 5 minutes before the Shkia. They would learn until after Tesa Kohavim. So they killed two birds with one stone, so they learned 5 minutes before the Shkia, that's Bayom. And 5 minutes after the Sefer Tehillim, that's Balayla.
Sure.
So they learned by Yom HaBalayla. They were Yoshi Bahagisa by Yom HaBalayla. According to the one opinion, that was enough if he learned a little bit every day and a little bit every night. The Pasuk has the din of the menorah, and the Gemara explains that the menorah can either be made from gold or from other metals. If it's made from gold, then you gotta go through all the gedim, kaptor, makrochim, and all of the details, and everything will be miyakeh. And if you make it from another metal, you get off easy. The gedim, kaptor, makrochim are not miyakeh. Only when making it from gold. Can you make a menorah from other materials other than metal? So the Gemara has in the Menachos the Machlokes HaTanaim, if you make a menorah shalei, have to be careful, it shouldn't burn. And they burn. So the Gemara has the Machlokes HaTanaim about this. So one time, and none of the Tanaim were there at the time Yehuda HaMakabi. One time it says, but that's what happened in the days of Yehuda HaMakabi. No, did they make a wooden menorah? There's such a tradition, they made a wooden menorah. So he says, the other Tanaim denies it, and he says, not true. The menorah was made from a flimsy metal. But they put wood on top that it should look fancy, to make it look pretty. But really the menorah, the kashrus of the menorah rested in the fact that there was metal that was hidden by the wood. So that's the machlokes HaTanaim. We assume it has to be made from metal. That wood is no good. Mark has this issue, whether wood is good or not, or you need up the metal, it turns out on machlokes HaTanaim, and the Midrash HaTorah addresses them. The Yidarshan Klal, a prat of Klal, or Yidarshan Rigui and Liyut Verigui. There were two traditions. The Braisa that says in the Siddur before Bar Shomar, it says Rabbi Shmuel Hayom, Rabbi Shlashim is HaTorah Medreshes. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says there's a Klal of Prat, there's a Prat of Klal, and there's a Klal of Prat of Klal. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees on the basics. He says, no, it's a Riva Yomiyot, and it's a Miyot Veriva, and it's a Riva Neir Veriva. The Gemara says that one of the many differences in Allah will be whether the Menorah or the Kelim in the Beit HaMikdash have to be made after from metal, or can be made from other material as well. The Tabul HaKoreshik has a comment on the Menorah. Rashi quotes the comment that Moshe Rabbeinu the Gemara Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu was Nishkasha Basiyas HaMenorah, couldn't figure out how to put all this together. So he threw all the gold into the furnace that purified the gold, and a miracle occurred and the Menorah came out by itself. So yes, why was it so difficult? The Hashmonaim figured out how to make a menorah. And they weren't there, they didn't see this beautiful lineage. He was shown Kamara, Shaharisa Bahar came to Aser Hamnero. He was shown what it's supposed to look like. The Hashmonaim probably didn't see what it's supposed to look like. How were they able to do it? Unless you say there was, the old menorah was there, they just made a copy of it. He was making Yeshmeyar. Possible? The Rabbi of Soloveitchik suggests, no, Kamara, Shaharisa Bahar made it more difficult. He said, the Zoros, not all future generations, if you make a menorah shel zahav, so the halacha says you have to have bein kaptor makrochim. If you make it from other metals, it doesn't have to have all these details, bein kaptor makrochim. Make it from zahav, it has to be. But the halacha doesn't require that the bein kaptor makrochim have to look exactly the way they looked in the image that Moshe Rabbeinu was shown on Har Sinai. He made bein kaptor makrochim, sure. But then they were like, Rosh Hashanah, in the days of the Mishkan, that all of the kelim had to be made kamareh, asher hareta b'har kein taseh, tamenorah has to be made exactly the same as the image that you saw, that I had a pasuk for. Asher hakamareh b'har. But that's what Moshe Rabbeinu found very difficult. He couldn't remember exactly what was he shown in Har Sinai. That's why for him it was difficult. But the third, there is no such requirement that has to be exactly as that image. As long as you throw in the proper number of katerim and the proper number of gevir, and it should look like a gevir, like a cup. You can have fat cups, tall cups, short cups, skinny cups. Gevir, katerim. It doesn't have to look like that katerim. It can look like any katerim you want. But if I rush on, Moshe Rabbeinu had to look exactly so. Kukim described the Asiyas HaKotzer and the Heichal and the Kodesh separating between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It says, HaKemotus HaMishkan K'mishkato, you should set up the Mishkan according to its rules and regulations. K'mishkato. So So the Talmud Yerushalmi has a famous comment on this, Mishpato. Mishpat has the connotation of Eila HaMishpat HaMishpatat in his name. Adin Teiru. Tini Mominus. Adin Teiru. What Shaykh Adin Teiru HaKinoshet HaMishpat HaMishpatat? Who's Adin Teiru between? So the Yerushalmi says Adin Teiru between the different crossing. That the right hand side of the Azara was more Mekudish than the left hand side. That's Tzofim. Shechita Kachi Kachi Mahash Shechikach Mahtzofim with Kibbutam and the Shari Batzof. So the right hand side of the Azara is Tzofim because you're facing Pyro. When we daven, our shuls are facing Israel, because the Beit HaMikdash is facing Meir. So the Tzofim is to the right. So the right hand side of the Azara had more Kedushim. So the Gemara says, those Kedushim should double the Hinasim Batzofim. You're not allowed to switch. They kept on taking down the Mishkan and putting it up. They kept on traveling. And Abraham Shon and the Midbar. So when them based Masoras, there were more locations than there were years that they stayed in the Midbar. Every month in the dynasty, they were always traveling. They stayed one place for 38 years, Rashi says. 37 years they stayed in one place. And then the other 41 stopped. The other 40 locations were all in the course of two years. Every 2 weeks, every week and a half, they were going somewhere else. So every time they took down the Mishkan, they put it up. So actually, all the Kroshim looked exactly the same, except for those that were by Yachad Tzayim. The corner of Kroshim were different, but all the others were exactly the same size. The Kroshim with the Adonim on the bottom, with everything. So you can interchange everything. You can use the Kroshim that used to be on this side. You put on that side. Those that used to be on that side, put on this side. So that's the Yerushalmi says, no, you're not allowed to do that. They'll make that interior with you. Keresh, Shazapha, the Hinafim Batsafon, the Hinafim Badarim, because Tzafon is more important. So some Achrayim say, when you have a palace, which is a rectangular shape, sometimes the palace is a square shape, so it doesn't make a difference which way you hold the palace, whether you hold this side up or that side up or sideways. If it's a square, you can hold, it'll be exactly the same. Just pull the scissors out, sideways instead of hanging down. So just rearrange the scissors. So some Achrayim write, you have to put something on the top of the palace to know that this is the top, and the top should always be on top. Why? Because of this, Keresh is Zofen, Hinasim Atzofen, Hinasim Zofen. Other Achrayim disagree, they say, what's the truth though? Zofen has more Kedushim than Zorim. The right hand half of the Azor is Kasher for Shechitas Gatzim. The left hand side is not. But the top of the palace has more Kashir than the bottom of the palace. That's why you put an Atzor. Why do you put an Atzor on top? The first meaning developed that you put a piece of cloth on top, just to know this is this side up. But what do you care? This side up, it's going to work if you hold it upside down. It's going to refrigerate it. But as long as you have the other side up, the answer is no. Carriage is up on your nose and my stuff, and then your mother. So many Achrayim disagree. What's the difference? The top of the palace and the bottom of the palace. All palaces are the same thing. So once some were maxed to insist on having an authority to remember this side up, so then since that authority is serving a religious purpose, but some made it into a silver atar. Even if it's serving a religious purpose to remember which side up, so you're not going to make it silver. But then some Achrayim write, if that's a hashash, once you have part of the talus has silver, and you put it on your head, and you put it on your shoulders, however you wear it, so if you have a beggar, such a guy wears a tie or wears a scarf, that's only for the purpose of covering the neck, covering the head, it's not tied in stitches. So if you have a palace that has an atar, that atar costs more than the whole palace costs. That atar is a silver. So the main, it's not really true, but someone might think that the main purpose of the palace is the atar. So that's the main purpose, and then maybe it's not even hide and stitches. So that's why the Ateres of Canaan, on the bottom of the page in the Big Shulchan Aruch, has a recommendation that the Chassidish Rebbe's do that you should have. If you have a silver atar on the top, then you got to have another silver atar in the middle, to show that it's not that the top is the most important. Yeah, the whole palace is there. The middle is also important, and therefore it's still tied in the city. Because you're only going to have a silver atar on the top, then it's a shayla, tomorrow maybe it's not tied in the city. Anyway, this Yerushalmi, the Akamotah is HaMishkan, HaMishpatoi, okay, it's a Mishpat Yesh, HaKamot HaMishkan. What's the Mishpat? What's the Din Hamlet? What's the Din Terah? So the Din Terah is the Keresh of the Zohar, the Hinat and the Tzofah, and doesn't want to lose its Chazokah. So this is the source for Chazokah and Mitzvah. It's the Baal Tekeah, who's the Blon Shaker for the last couple years, and the Baal Shachris, who's the Davin Pranomit, and the Baal Kare, and the Baal Nila, whatever, whoever has the Kus, say the Shabbat Avodah Grasha for the last 5 years, so you're not allowed to take away this Kus from that person. This is one of the sources. Usually the Achrayim quote a different source. So the Hazaka and the Mishnah, the series of Mishnah is in the middle of the Gittin. You don't miss the one of the Tachanis and say Tikkun HaOlam. So one of the Tachanis that's mentioned in the Mishnah is that when you have an area that has an Erez in it, so you have to leave a box of matzahs in somebody's home. So the bias that they always put the Erez in, and let's say next year someone else wants that they should put the Erez in his house. And for the last 5 years, the last 10 years, they've always been putting the Erez in this guy's house. And then when I moved into my apartment on Benin Avenue, so it's a big apartment building, a few shamashab in there, but there was one man, there was an invalid. He was an older person, and he was never away. He couldn't go anywhere. It was an older Yeshua, so he was always there. So the other people didn't want to have the Erez in their home, because if they go away, they lock their apartment, the other shamashab don't have access to the back of the mosque. And their Shabbos been as much as the area is no good. And this guy was always there. So that's why they always had the area in his apartment. So the Gemara has this, the Mishnah has in Gittin, this Takana, that the bias, the Menichem, bias the area, you now got to switch the area to put it into a different house. Because people will think, it must have done some other area. There must be some reason why they took away the mitzvah from it, why they took away the school. So that's what that way, and not the whole institution of Chazokim and Mitzvah is based on these two sources. There's Yerushalmi on this Pasuk and that Mishnah in and get the Tzukin tell us that the Parochas serve the double function. Yudah Parochas Lachem Ben HaKodesh Ben Kodesh HaKodoshim. It's a Havdolah that's in Shabtah Chavah Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Then there's another Pasuk, I gotta look for it, I didn't look for it. There's another Pasuk that says that the Parochas is for the purpose of covering over on the Oros. Covering over on the Oros, even though it's not laying on the Oros, but it's to cover the Oros. These are three different roles of the Parochas. The thing is, when you do, usually, normally, Korban Chatos, you do all the Korbanos that work on the outside of the deck. Once in a long while, there's a rare institution of Chatos Akhmidio. When you bring a Korban Chatos, you do the Zirke in front of the Parochas. So on Yom Kippur, you do like that. And there are a couple of Korbanos, Pahalam Dov Shal Tzibar, Parchai Mashiach. A couple of other kavanas we do this week in front of the Parochas. So there's a difference. You look in the Rambam, and Rishon Lezion points out there is a difference between the zrikas on Yom Kippur in front of the Parochas as opposed to the zrikas on the other hatorot apnimiyos in front of the Parochas. On Yom Kippur, the Rambam says you have to be mechaben bein avadim when the kohen gadol tangol. On Yom Kippur, you need tangol. The tangol does this the hazorah in front of the Parochas. You have to do it bein avadim facing the oros. The other Chatzalot HaPnimiyos, the Mishlam Noah points out, the Rambam never says that, just in front of the Parochas. So not to be docked over the air in the place which is the Bein HaRam. Apparently, there's two different Dinim. And all other Chatzalot HaPnimiyos, the Halacha says, you have to be Mazeh in front of the Parochas, which is the Hibdiva, so all Parochas is the Hibdiva. But on Yom Kippur, the Hazor is in front of the Parochas, which serves as the Kisui for the Oron. So the Kisui for the Oron is the part of Bein HaBadim. Now Chaim has in his paper this famous problem in the Rambam that the Mishnah Noah points out. It is a machlokes hatanoim in Yuma, I think it's on Dafayim or so on. The kol avodas yom kippurim have to be done al haseder, and if you mishana the seder, so you got to start all over again. The seder is ma'akev. On Pesach night, the seder is not ma'akev. It's eaten more before the matzah b'yevad yoytze. But on Yom Kippur, the avodas, the seder is ma'akev. So the tanoim have a machlokes. Is the Seder only Yaakev on those parts of Avodas which are done dig the Zog on the Fnim, or even in the Avodas that are done Bakut? So the Rambam passes only, the Rambam doesn't steer. The Rambam talks about some Avodas that are done in the Heichal, that the Seder is Yaakev, and other Avodas the Seder is not Yaakev. So the Rambam doesn't know how to make head or tail of it. The Rambam says the answer is obvious. The Rambam splits the Heichal. Heichal is in front of the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Rambam holds the Hazot in front of the Parochas are really related to the Oros. That's considered this is Mazeh in front of the Oros. But the Hazot and the Lizbat HaKoreh, that's Kilachot. That doesn't relate to the Kodesh HaKadosh. So the Rambam holds the Seder is only Akev, and the Avodah is done indeed they love on this Naivalifnit in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or in the Hechem in front of the Parochas. So those Hazores relate to the Oren, that's why it's done, Bein Abadim. But the Hazores that are done on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, that's not, there the Seder is not Miyakim. That's considered Kelachut. That's the same as Abkhaim has in the Seder. Abu Jam has a sefer on tzidus. He explains that every expression in the tzidus is in biblical Hebrew. He has to show where in Tanakh this kela vadala gibama and the rock kela yom no. Every phrase in the tzidus comes from the maspek. Oh, the Ashur is there. This is based on that we know. Ashur is based on the tzidus. Okay, but he says every nusach hatzila, every bracha. That's the premise of the whole thing. It seems doesn't agree with the whole premise. It's talking about the whole thing. But that's what all the men are showing him work on that assumption. That the Yusuf HaTzila has to be in a biblical Hebrew. So he quotes this part of the Zila Paras Lachan Beit HaKadosh Ben Kodesh HaKadoshim to serve as a mocker for the text of Havdalah that we say on Matzoi Shabbos going into Yom Tov. We say Hamavda Mekodesh LaKodesh. So where is there a source in Tanakh with such a terminology? For such an expression, he says, "Zilak Parachis Lachem Bein Hakodesh." But Bein Kodesh Hakadoshim, there is a havdalah between one level of Kodesh and another level of Kodesh. We don't say that anything that's Kodesh is Kodesh, and everything that's cold is cold. There are many different levels of Kodesh, and there are many mitzvahs. All the mitzvahs are important, but there's a hierarchy. Some mitzvahs are more important than other mitzvahs. If a person misconstrues the hierarchy, then it's in Gansen a different. It's a distortion of everything. It used to be a philosopher, Pascal, so he writes in his Pensée, he writes in his Book of Thought, that no one should have any complaints against me, that every idea that I write stays shining. It's already printed in this book, that book. He says, you can have the same time against the poet who writes a poem. All of the Macharis, every word appears in the dictionary. No, but he was Macharis, that he put the words together in this order. Other people will take the same words, put it in a different order. So he says, the same is true regarding ideas. I'll give you my terminology. I have 613 ideas. You have 613 ideas. But if I have it, living in Eretz Yisrael is the most important. It's the Zecha Shabbos and Kashrus and Karas and Mishpacha. That's the most important. Ooh, that's correct. Living in Eretz Yisrael is the mitzvah. Not on top. Emunah in God is on top. And then you have Shabbos, Kashrus, Karas and Mishpacha close to the top. And then Eretz Yisrael is somewhere in the middle there. Not on top and it's not on the bottom. By other people it's below the bottom. It's not even on the screen. It's not even on the horizon. It's nowhere there. No, everything's on the Chumadikinist, but it's not on top and it's not on the bottom. You have to get everything in the right perspective. There is an important concept of Havdalah being Kodesh LeKodesh. Some things are Kodesh Chom and some things are Kodesh Chol. And that's what Pascal writes. You can have people believe in the same ideas, but if I hold that this is the Iker and this is the top of this is the Klal, this is the Yetzimera Klal, he has everything Kakev, he holds, no, that's the Klal, and that's the Yetzimera Klal. What I hold is the Iker, he holds that's the top of. But just because he subscribes to the same 613 ideas, it doesn't mean anything. Each idea has a different understanding. If you place it in a different perspective, in the hierarchy of ideas, each idea gets a different Havon. It's a different idea. Like the poet who writes the words that appear in the dictionary, but it's the way he places them. He gives the muscle when you play tennis. I don't know, is it tennis or ping pong, whatever you write. So the whole key is where did you place the ball? The same ball, the same racket. Yeah, well, where did you place the ball? Then you knock it over there, then you knock it over there, you knock it over there. That's the whole eker, is the placement of the exact same ball. Where did you place it? So the ideas also. How did you place the ideas in relationship to each other? The Gemara works very hard to figure out. The Gemara has many, many sukkahs. Tell me what the hierarchy of the Mishnah is. The Mishnah here, the obvious, is not discouraging us from figuring out a hierarchy. The Gemara goes more than that. The Mishnah says that we deserve the Mishnah Kala Kala Hamura. Then after they are not discouraging the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't say there's no such thing as the Mishnah Kala Mishnah Hamura. They clearly are. They clearly are. The Rambam gives you an appearance on the Shnayim. What's the Mitzvah Kala, what's the Mitzvah Chamura? He tells you what. But gives you a big mode. But the Mishnah just says, you shouldn't be negligent. You shouldn't be mezalvel in the Mitzvah Kala. Sometimes that Mitzvah, under these circumstances, deserves much more reward than Mitzvah Chamura. But they clearly are Mitzvah Kala and Mitzvah Chamura. And it's an afkamina sometimes when there's a conflict. And you just can't observe both. So which one is higher in the hierarchy, and then this one takes precedence? The Gemara works very hard to figure out. And the Onshin, sometimes you have this Avera gets a more serious Onish. Kila says to Eric Chenek, so we assume whatever gets Kila, the Machamadik Avera never gets straight. whenever he gets greater, the more homage he got there, then he gets panic and so on. And he has other problems to try to figure out which what the hierarchy is.
I don't see them in the movie.